It is December 19th, 2024, 9 o'clock a.m. I'm Phil Albrecht, hearing examiner for Kitsap County, holding a hearing this morning on a conditional use permit application for an accessory dwelling unit, file number 24-02426. So I guess, Ms. Lewis, you're the staff lead on this one, is that correct? Okay, perfect. And is the applicant there present today or anybody else, or is it just staff today? Okay. Okay. Well, let's deal with the exhibit list then real quick. Let me share screen on that. And okay. So by state law, I'm only allowed to consider evidence that's put in the record. I'm not allowed to talk to staff about the project or review any documents that were not admitted into evidence. Ms. Lewis has put together an exhibit list of documents that she would like considered for the final decision, and I'm sharing a screen which identifies what those documents are, composed of the staff report, health district building site application, environmental review, stormwater worksheet, some submission forms, water availability letter, the public notices for the projects and floor plans, site plan, the environmental determination that an environmental impact statement is not necessary, more notices, and then the staff presentation, a PowerPoint for today. At this point, just want to ask if anyone has any objection or problems with or needs to see any of those documents, exhibits 1 through 16. If you're participating virtually, just click on your virtual hand, and we'll recognize you. Otherwise, if you're in the meeting room, just wave your hand, and Ms. Jones will recognize you. So not here. If you're seeing any takers, I'll go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through 16. And Ms. Lewis, at this point, I'll swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding? Okay, great. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you, Examiner Albrecht. For the record, my name is Erin Lewis, and I am a planner with Kitsap County DCD. Today, I'm presenting a request for approval to a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit to construct a detached ADU. Do I have my slides up yet? Okay, thanks. There we go. The application was deemed complete on June 18th, 2024. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with the project information and an opportunity for public comment. No public comments were received by the department. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated August 1st, 2024. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on October 24th, 2024. The SEPA appeal period ended November 7th, 2024. No appeals were filed. Therefore, the SEPA determination is final. According to the Kitsap County Assessor, subject parcel 292402-3-021-2002 is 1 acre in size, addressed as 5150 Southeast Foss Road, Port Orchard, Washington, 98366, is in South Kitsap and in Commissioner District 2. The aerial photo here shows single-family homes and accessory structures consistent with the development found in the rural residential zone. The proposed ADU is consistent with properties in the vicinity. The parcel labeled subject site in red is zoned rural residential. Adjacent properties surrounding the site to the west, south, and east are also zoned rural residential. To the north is Southeast Foss Road. The proposal is to construct a new 836 square foot detached accessory dwelling unit. The subject site has no mapped critical areas and is relatively flat. There are no critical area ordinance concerns. The site plan for the proposal shows access from Southeast Foss Road, with the existing two driveways being reduced to one and connected at the interior of the parcel with a gravel surface. The decommissioned driveway access will have a permanent fence extended to comply with code requirements. The site plan shows parking in three marked spaces, plus the existing garage to meet parking standards for the SFR and the ADU. Applicant floor plan shows the existing principal dwelling is 2,076 square feet. Therefore, the maximum size allowed for the ADU is 900 square feet. The floor plan also helps us determine that there are no accessory dwelling units within or attached to the primary structure. This photo shows the existing single-family residence. And here are some conceptual renderings demonstrating elevation and design of the proposed ADU. Here we are seeing the front and rear elevations, and here are the left and right elevations. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size is 836 square feet. The proposal is conditioned to comply with the following requirements of Kitsap County Code Title 17.415.015B as amended June of 2022. There are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property. The owner will reside in the primary residence. 50% of the primary residence is 1,038 square feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed habitable area is 900 square feet. The proposed ADU is 836 square feet. Dimensions are determined by interior measurements. The ADU is approximately 100 feet away from the primary structure. The ADU will have similar appearance of the primary residence. The ADU meets all required setbacks for the rural residential zone. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU is not an RV or mobile home. The ADU will use the existing driveway off Southeast Foss Road, and the project will be conditioned for any applicable stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. Staff finds the proposal meets special use criteria in Kitsap County Code 17.415.015B and recommends approval as conditioned.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Lewis, for your testimony. At this point, let's move on to the applicants if they want to say anything. I'm told the applicant's agent is there, not required, and no big deal if you choose not to, but now's the chance.
Yes.
Okay, great. And ma'am, I'll just need your name for the record, how to spell it, and then I'll swear you in.
My name is Candace Vickery, C-A-N-D-A-C-E, V-I-C-K-E-R-Y.
Okay, Ms. Vickery, please raise your right hand. I'll swear you in. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Oh, great. Go ahead.
Thank you for hearing this matter today, and thank you, Ms. Lewis, for the concise staff report. I have read the staff report, and the property owners as well have read it, and we agree with the findings therein and the proposed conditions, with the exception of one condition. We would like to propose some revised language to condition number 21. I have here the current condition language and our proposed language I'd like to enter as an exhibit.
Okay, we'll make that, let's see here. Computer's a little slow today. We'll make that exhibit 17. Any objections out there for exhibit 17 or anyone need to see it? Okay, again, if you're participating virtually, just click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen if you want to see the document or have objections. All right, hearing, seeing none, we'll go ahead and admit the revised condition as Exhibit 17.
Okay, thank you. So our concern with Condition 21, well, I will just read the current condition and speak to it. Currently, Condition 21 reads, stormwater quantity control, quality treatment, and erosion and sedimentation control shall be designed in accordance with Kitsap County Code Title 12, effective at the time the SDAP or building permit, if no SDAP is required, application is deemed fully complete. The submittal document shall be prepared by a civil engineer licensed in the state of Washington. The fees and submittal requirements shall be in accordance with Kitsap County Code in effect at the time of SDAP application or building permit if an SDAP is not required. Our concern with this condition has to do with the sentence, the submittal document shall be prepared by a civil engineer licensed in the state of Washington. The proposal as presented and as to be followed in the subsequent building permit does not meet the requirements to require civil engineer preparation of those stormwater documents. So we would propose condition 21 to read as follows. Stormwater quantity control, quality treatment, and erosion and sedimentation control as required for the development shall be designed in accordance with Kitsap County Code Title 12, effective at the time the building permit is deemed fully complete. If development meets the thresholds for engineered drainage design, the submittal document shall be prepared by a civil engineer licensed in the state of Washington. The fees and submittal requirements shall be in accordance with Kitsap County ordinances in effect at the time of building permit application. Other than that, we agree with everything else in the staff report, and thanks staff for their work on this project.
Okay, thanks for your comments, and allow Ms. Lewis to respond to the county position on that revision when we get back to staff comment at the end of the hearing. So
thank you.
Hear from them. Okay, thank you.
Any questions for me?
No, very straightforward, thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right. Okay, Ms. Jones, is anyone else in the hearing room want to testify at this point? If someone in the hearing room wants to testify, just wave your hand. Ms. Jones will recognize
yes.
you.
Sorry, we do. Come on up.
My name is Lori Williams, and I own the house at 929 Baby Doll Road.
Okay, Ms. Williams, let me swear in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm, tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding? Okay, great. Go ahead.
So I own the house on Baby Doll Road, and we have an easement that goes, and I'm assuming, and I don't know all the details of this project, but I'm assuming that they are wanting to use the easement to access their property. Well, my concern with that is there's already so much traffic that goes by there because there's houses behind there that are using that easement. And it gets really busy, and I would just prefer not to have more people using that. Right, it goes right by the bedroom window, and it gets pretty noisy.
Okay.
So if they have access on their own property, I don't know why they can't use that access instead of increasing the traffic going by my house.
Okay, that's my concern. Okay, sounds good. And certainly if the applicant can respond to that when it's, they get final word at the end of the hearing, we'll give them a chance to address that.
Okay,
so.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Ms. Williams. Anybody else, Ms. Jones, in the hearing room?
Not in the hearing room. Nope.
Okay, so we got a couple virtual attendees there. If either of the people attending virtually want to participate, click on the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And it doesn't look like we have any takers there. Maybe we do.
It's like there's one. I'll go ahead and allow them to talk.
All right. Jesse, you there? You have to unmute yourself. There you go.
Morning.
Okay. Just so you know, your video isn't on, and there's no problem with that. Just in case you weren't aware, it's not on, but that's fine. Let me swear in real quick. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
And, sir, what's your name for the record?
Jesse Caldwell.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Mr. Caldwell.
Yes, I was just speaking to the lady who owns the house on Fox Road. I'm wondering where she's getting the idea where we would be using the easement. We already have a driveway from the property going on to Fox Road, so the easement is way at the back of the property. And we're not requesting access to that easement. Oh.
Okay. So, Mr. Caldwell, you're saying, yeah, it's just not part of your plans to use that for this accessory dwelling unit then?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Anything else, Mr. Caldwell?
No, that's it.
Okay. Great. All right. Anyone else at this point want to say something? Again, if you're participating virtually, just click your virtual hand. And in case someone is participating virtually and they can't figure out how to be heard today, just go ahead and email this. Well, Ms. Jones, who should they email?
They can email me, and for the record, my email is lrjones@kitsap.gov.
Okay, and it's only, again, if you can't, for some technical reason, are unable to participate today, you couldn't figure out how to get your comments and your internet wasn't working, something of that nature, just go ahead and email Ms. Jones by 5 p.m. tomorrow. Identify that you couldn't participate because of technical reasons, and then you can go ahead and make your comments. And if any emails do come in by 5 tomorrow, I'll give staff and the applicant a couple days to respond to that. So with that, let's go back to the Ms. Lewis. Go back to Ms. Lewis, and I know there's a request for revisions to the condition. I'm just curious to hear the county position on that. Ms. Steiner, you want to let me swear in? Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm, tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
So for the record, Darren Gurney, I am planning supervisor here at Kitsap County, addressing a couple of the questions that were received. So with regards to the request to change the condition of approval, the primary focus for that condition is that if civil engineering is required, it needs to be prepared by a professional civil engineer. So we are comfortable with language changes that identify if thresholds are met that require that engineering, it is prepared by that entity. We are okay with that kind of language as the conditions. To speak to the access easement portion, the staff report clearly identifies that access is provided off of Foss Road with no intent to go through an access easement to the rear. I believe that covers the comments that we have received today.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Gurney. Appreciate your clarification on that. Thank you. And finally, applicant gets final word. Again, not necessary required. If the applicant wants to put in a final word, now's the chance. Ms. Jones, you see, does the...
Yeah, she's coming up. Ms. Vickery.
Thank you. I just want to join in on clarifying that the easement referenced by Ms. Williams will not be used for this project. They will have direct access to Southeast Foster Road.
Okay. And, I mean, does the easement, is there a road connection to the property through the easement? Is that even there at all, or, you know?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I have a site plan. I can look at that myself. So, okay, great. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comments. Yeah. I'll go ahead and close the hearing. And, as with just about all of the Kitsap County applications for accessory dwelling units, they're very straightforward. I mean, the county conditions and requirements are very precise. And once you've met them, there isn't much room to come up with any decision but approval. So, of course, I'll be giving out that approval or issuing that approval within the next couple of weeks, most likely. So thanks all for participating, and happy holidays, and we're adjourned for this morning.
We have one more agenda item, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, we do. Okay, I didn't see that in here. All right. Let's see.
Should be the three North Beach permits, a shoreline variance, shoreline substantial development permit, and a major revision of a performance-based development.
Okay, I just saw the one email. It's for the conditional use. It's going to take me a little bit to find it now.
Totally fine.
And Ms. Jones, do you have that? So I can do a search for the email. What's the caption of the email that sent me those materials?
Let me see. It should just be the date of the hearing, but let me go ahead and take a look. I'll resend it to you.
Yeah, that'd be the easiest thing to do.
All right, resending to you now.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see there was another folder in there. Okay. There we go. All right. Our second hearing then today is on a request for a shoreline variance, shoreline substantial development permit, and a permit revision. These are for file numbers. .23-01781, .23-01777, and .22-04212. Hearing format will be the same as the last hearing, which is a staff presentation, then applicant comments, then public comments. Then we move back for staff rebuttal. Then applicant gets final word. I get 10 business days to issue a decision. The shoreline variance would have to be approved by the Department of Ecology. The other permits are final from my end. So, with that, let me put up the exhibit list. Pick that up here. There we go. Oh, shoot. Coming up with that other folder. Hold on a second.
I can also share it if you'd like. I have it pulled up as well.
Oh, almost there. There we go. Okay. And these shoreline permits take a lot of work, so we have quite a few exhibits, a total of 49. So, Ms. Jones, are there any people present here other than applicant on this one?
We have one person in the room, but they are not here for this project.
I see
a few people online, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess, yeah, since we have people online, I'll go over the exhibits real quick then. As I said, there's a lot of work that goes into these projects. Let me share my screen here real quick. Come on. There we go. All right. So, you see, we have our environmental review, past hearing examiner decision, project narrative, concurrency test dealing with traffic, stormwater review, geotechnical review, shoreline mitigation plan, some more stormwater work, traffic impact analysis, Squamish Tribe comments, Department of Ecology comments, architectural site plan, civil plans, landscaping plans, massing study, some revised architectural plans, the environmental review again, a no net loss report which evaluates the ecological impacts of the project, some revised project narratives and more ecology comments, and then the notices for the project. Total of 49 exhibits. At this point, I just want to ask if anyone has any objections to entry of these documents or needs to see them. Again, if you're participating virtually, just click on your virtual hand at the bottom of your screen, or if you're in the room, just wave your hands and Ms. Jones will recognize you. And let's see, not seeing any takers on this one, so it looks like we're good on that. So hold on a sec. All right. Okay, and let's see, who's our staff lead on this one now?
Today we have Jeff Smith, and he will be making his way up to the podium.
Okay. All right, Mr. Smith, let me swear in. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Oh, great. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Smith. I'm representing the Department of Community Development. Today, the proposal is for multifamily housing, additional multifamily housing in the Silverdale regional area. I have over 20 years of planning experience reviewing projects like this. The first thing is the applicant is Daybreak Development, LLC. And the proposal is, the request by the applicant is the revision to the building design and the Buckland Court performance-based development, which was approved by the hearing examiner in approximately 2015. The project includes a shoreline substantial development permit, shoreline variance for building height to increase the building height 10 feet above the 35 foot height limitation within the Shoreline Master Program. And the project includes an administrative conditional use permit, which is not going to be under your review. The request is a four-story building, 47 units, and they'll include one-story structural parking underneath the building. And there'll be additional parking on the site, as far as surface parking, as well as parking, maybe as far as there's an easement for parking off-site. The property is within the Silverdale Design Standards Buckland Hill Design District. It also is in the Shoreline Intensive Shoreline Designation. Subject property is located in Central Kitsap. It's on the north side of Dyes Inlet. It's on the south side of Buckland Hill Road. Here's a neighborhood regional view showing the property. Property's west of the Old Mill Park, which is owned by Kitsap County. And it's also east of Old Town Silverdale. Here's an enlarged view. The subject property is 1.33 acres in size. It is about 420 feet long, 168 feet wide. And it also includes tidal lands that goes out into Dyes Inlet that's approximately 900 feet long, which is traditionally usually owned by our natural resources, but it is still managed by them. The subject property is zoned regional center. This project is a permitted use within the regional center. It allows for multifamily housing, and it allows for a 45-foot height limitation, and that can be increased based on performance-based development. And it's adjacent to the park zone, which, again, is owned by Kitsap County. The Shoreline Master Program is shown in this map as far as the designation. When this property, when the Shoreline Master Program was adopted, it included the designation of urban intensive development. It bisects the property approximately halfway through the property and includes the Silverdale Hotel around Dyes Inlet and to the south. Otherwise, to the east is Conservancy, Urban Conservancy. The property includes multiple critical areas based on our mapping. First, the purple is considered a seismic hazard area, which is prone to liquefaction related to earthquakes. The second thing is that includes the 100-year floodplain. Also, the property includes erosion hazards along the beach area. As far as the site, is an open grassy area separated by a chain link fence, and it consists, the shoreline consists of anchored logs and native vegetation, and there are some invasive species. As far as the shoreline has a gentle sloping bank of 4 feet high, rock bulkhead, and a 6 foot wide gravel trail that bisects and parallels the upside of the wall. There's an existing wall there. And the shoreline is exposed and receiving direct sunlight over the summer months. And it's been noted that by various sources that there's this site used to be a location of a cement batch plant, and that there's over 10 feet of fill on the subject property. And there was testing in 2013, and as far as there's not been any contaminants identified so far. The proposal will include excavation 10 to 12 feet down, depending down to potentially down to native soils when that occurs. As far as the proposal was reviewed for off-street parking, signage, landscaping, as far as development engineering for stormwater, access, transportation roads, and fire safety and solid waste. I'd like to get into as far as describing the different permits that are involved here, is that this is being reviewed for a performance-based development, major revision. The proposal includes an increase in density, includes a substantial change to the building layout on the property, includes a reduction of the perimeter setback, and those are items to trigger a major major revision to the performance-based development. Staff has reviewed that proposal and finds that the documentation the applicant submitted in the record is consistent with meeting those requirements for open space and as far as off-street parking. It does include a parking reduction, and it's referencing the transit element. Whose transit is located on Buckland Hill Road, and it provides a connection to a regional transit center in Central Kitsap. As far as the shoreline substantial development permit, this is to review the compatibility with the shoreline and the ecological resources and how they're being mitigated. Again, the applicant has thoroughly provided special reports that support this shoreline substantial development permit and does comply with the state RCW and WAC for those design criteria. The next one is the shoreline variance. And let me get further here. Let me back up here. Again, this is a map showing the Buckland Hill design district, and this shows the older design districts in Silverdale. This is a map showing the existing conditions on the property, showing the trail that is already in operation today and will remain in operation. That black line there shows approximately the location where there's a retaining wall. and shows how this does demonstrates how this is a the type of vegetation that's existing on the property, and clearly demonstrates first how this is located between the Old Mill Park, where there's critical areas. There's a Category 4 wetland with a 50-foot setback, 50-foot buffer. Also the urban intensive designation requires a 50-foot shoreline buffer of 50 feet as well. This shows that the existing trail bisects the existing buffer area. So this shows what the proposed improvements are going to be, and as far as the areas of enhancement, shows the general footprint of the building and the critical area on the adjacent property, as well as the Silverdale Hotel. Here we have the site plan of the proposed development, showing the footprint of the structure, and shows the area where along the shoreline where the buffer is, and as well as the trail that's being bisects the 50-foot shoreline buffer, and also identifies the 50-foot buffer of from the wetland, that a portion of that is on the subject property. It does show that the structured parking below the building, as well as some surface parking that's located north of the building. This shows a landscape plan, shows the enhancement area along the shoreline, whereas the additional planting and the which would be planted and monitored for up to 5 years after the project has been approved for final inspection. This also shows some enhancement areas and landscaping along the east side. And again, this shows the off-street parking area where there's going to be internal landscaping to the parking area, and also around the frontage of the property where it enters. And I want to note that this property doesn't have direct access on Buckland Hill. It is provided access via an easement the easement provides access or is accessed by a traffic signal on Buckland Hill. Again, this property is the way it's located in an urban intensive area, and it requires a height limitation of 35 feet. However, in the regional center zone, it allows for a higher building height, and it requires a higher density. So that's where the conflict is between the height limitation for the Shoreline Master Program and as far as the underlying zone allows for a higher building and higher density. So the applicant has prepared a known net loss report to look at ecological impacts, as well as a shading study and a massing study. Again, the request is to allow 10 feet to or allow the structure of 10 feet to exceed the 35-foot height limitation. As you can see, the grade plane there is at the ground level there, and it's measured from that ground level to the to the top of the building. So the variance is reviewed against the variance criteria in the Shoreline Master Program. The request is, are there bulk dimensional standards that impact the proposed use? Yes, as far as that issue with the regional center zone and the Shoreline Master Program height limitation. Far as there's, is there a hardship related to this? And are there any unique conditions? And the applicant has argued, yes, there is a hardship based on the density requirements and the needed height to construct at the at a higher height and a higher density. Like this proposal is going from 40 units, how it was originally proposed, up to 47 units. Is the design of the project to be compatible with the authorized uses within the area? And that is yes, it is compatible with the uses in the area. Like it was mentioned, is that this is going to be stair step back, and it also is consistent with the general design of the Silverdale Hotel. So the another criteria is the variance constitute a grant of special privilege not enjoyed by other properties in the area? Again, the Silverdale Hotel has a similar height, and it's been there for approximately 35 years. And is it the minimum necessary? It could be argued, yes, it is the minimum necessary, and it's the hearing. The previous hearing examiner did approve this at 45 feet as well. And it's been demonstrated through the shading study that this area receives a southern exposure and won't create any shadowing on the shoreline and impact ecological functions. So the as far as the variance, will it be impacting cumulative impacts? And that is, that's not the case here because the proposal has been reviewed with the no net loss report. The actual project will provide additional and enhancement of the shoreline and the shoreline functions and shouldn't cause any substantial adverse impacts on the shoreline. The proposal, there was proper public notice given to this request. The applicant or the staff provided public notice around the subject property, 800 feet. We issued went through the optional DNS process to receive public comments. We did receive comments from three state agencies, but we did not receive any comments from the general public. We received comments from the Department of Ecology, Shoreline Planning. We also received comments from the Toxics Waste Division. We received comments from the Department of Archaeological Historic Preservation. In addition, we did receive comments from the Suquamish Tribe. And to address that, that kind of those comments, as far as their concerns, so the Department of Ecology commented on the water-dependent uses versus no water-oriented uses, and the applicant argues that this is definitely a water-oriented use with the trail going across the property and providing water access to the shoreline. UE had concerns with impervious surface requirements in the shoreline buffer. Based on what their comments and what was originally proposed, the applicant chose to reduce the size of the trail, which is going to be a gravel trail, down to 60 inches running across the property. And it's going to be gravel. So the applicant has made changes to the site plan to reduce the amount of impervious surface on the site, as well as in the natural vegetation buffer. There were some comments about the viewing platform. It's documented that the viewing platform is outside the 50-foot buffer. It's in the 200-foot jurisdiction, but is outside the 50-foot buffer, so it shouldn't impact the values and functions of that buffer. The DOE commented that the proposal exceeds 45 feet, and as I stated earlier, the applicant has made arguments about the far as the limitations of the code to allow the density at a lower building height. There was comments about the bulkhead and being removed, but I think from what I understand is that the applicant's going to retain that bulkhead, and it shouldn't impact the overall functions of the buffer. There is also comments about the the rooftop structure, and as far as what kind of amenities are offered on the roof. But at this point, there are not any amenities on the rooftop. The only thing that will go up and in above the 45-foot height limitation is the elevator mechanical equipment. The DOE commented on the geotechnical report, and as far as the amount of gravel areas is being proposed, but that has already been addressed in the geotechnical report. And the geotechnical report does address the seismic hazard area and how the structure is going to be and be constructed to deal with any kind of liquefaction. The State Archaeological and Historic Preservation commented on there's a potential based on mapping and comments made from the Suquamish Tribe that there's some archaeological resources on the property. The project is conditioned to include inadvertent discovery plan at the time of a site development activity permit, at time when there's excavation that occurs, that would be when they excavate for the parking facility. That if they go below the 10-foot margin, then if there's native soils that are being disturbed, they'd like to have a Suquamish tribal member present at that time to address those if there's any resources discovered. There's a potential that this area was a campsite, and it is near the mouth of Clear Creek. There is a high probability there would also be archaeological resources at the Old Mill Park if that excavation would occur there too. And Department of Ecology Toxics Cleanup Program, they commented that there's, because it was a batch plant and the fill, that there's a probability that there'd be some kind of contaminated resources or soils on the property. And so they want to make sure the protocols are followed when that occurs. So to tie this up, if the based on the findings in the staff report, the proposal is consistent with the criteria as far as being consistent with the comprehensive plan. It's consistent with the development regulations. And the proposal incorporates incorporates specific features and conditions to ensure that it's appropriate to the character of the area. Staff would like to make a recommendation of approval based on the Shoreline Master Program and Title 17 of the Zoning Code with the 39 conditions of approval.
Okay, sounds great. So a couple questions on the, you mentioned that prior variance has been approved for this project for the height and according to the staff report, that's expired. That's why it's been reapplied.
Yes.
It doesn't look like can I get a copy of that prior hearing examiner decision? It looks like we have a hearing examiner decision in the record for the PBD modification, but not for the variance itself. Is that a?
No, it should include the variance too. It was combined. Just like this project.
It's in there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was reading through it. I didn't see. Okay. Okay. As long as it's in there, that's good then. And then were impacts on views considered at all? I think that could fall under the compatibility criterion for variance approval. It's compatible with other uses. I mean, will this have any impact on the views of surrounding properties?
It's not in a view protection zone. There's nobody has commented that there would be any visual or view impacts with the building of the structure. Granted, there's a bank and a Taco Time or Taco Bell to the north of this. I don't think there's they'd have any concerns.
Okay, perfect. And then finally, when you were showing a slide on the buffer encroachments with the trail, you mentioned that a black line depicted a retaining wall, and I didn't see that in the diagram, any black lines that would show the location of a retaining wall. Could you maybe go back and point that out?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was that one.
I believe that is the retaining wall.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I don't see a black line on there.
Oh, there's a black dash line. I think that's it, from what I can tell from here.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second. Yeah, I want to make sure I recognize it correctly.
There is a 50-foot buffer, and that's represented by the yellow buffer. Oh, it's blue, actually. Maybe I think that's
what okay. I'm looking at. All right, there we go. All right. Yeah, that was just my point of confusion there. Okay, got it. Perfect. All right, thanks, Mr. Smith. Appreciate your comments. Let's move on then to the applicant. Ms. Jones, is the applicant there and want to testify?
The applicant is not here in person, but we have online.
Mr. Baxter, okay. Mr. Baxter, let me swear you in there. As soon as you turn on your audio, there you go. Okay, just raise the right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, and your video is off. It doesn't have to be on, just so you know.
Oh, I don't know why it's off, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I just wanted to elaborate on a few things. I'm actually not sure there's no retaining wall on the property. I think in prior comments back and forth, there was confusion about what was the existing bulkhead and what is the current bulkhead. And previously there was a rockery style bulkhead along the shoreline. There was a permit issued to change that to anchored logs, and that is the current condition. And then the DOE, when they made comments on their original plan review, we had added some stone boulder retaining elements, and that's what they were commenting on, I think, as far as like a retaining wall, but we have removed those from the plans, so we're not adding any retaining or rockeries. So hopefully that clears the retaining wall thing up. So there shouldn't be any retaining proposed or existing.
Okay.
That's the bulkhead. The shading, we also included in our shading study that it has a minimal impact on the adjacent park as well. And the top story of the building is stepped back to help minimize the shading towards the park in the evening hours. And then as far as hardships go, it's included in the staff report, but we've elaborated further on there's sort of multiple hardships, and one of the primary ones is because this site has no direct, it's not fronting a right-of-way on any side, the site requires a significant amount of space to accommodate the fire apparatus access, including aerial access. And so a good portion of the site must be used to allow fire access around all sides of the property, because we don't have a right-of-way that would normally contribute to helping with that fire access. And so that's one of the hardships as well, to make the building more compact and slightly taller because of how much space is necessary for fire access. Those were just what I wrote down as notes as far as what to elaborate on. And yeah, if you have any further questions, let me know.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Baxter. And yeah, especially appreciate your clarification on the variance request. That's always the toughest part of any permit review. And anything you can throw in there to support your side, it's certainly a big help for me in assessing the project as well. So, with that, let's move on to any public comments at this point. Ms. Jones, is there anyone in the hearing room that wants to speak on this?
Not in the hearing room, no.
Okay. How about then any of the people attending virtually? If you want, just click on your virtual hand. Not seeing any takers there. So back to Mr. Smith. Any final comments you need to make? Okay. And Mr. Baxter, you get final word. Like I said, it doesn't look like it's necessary. So. Unless you raise your hand, I'll assume you have nothing further to say and go ahead and close the hearing. Looks like this has been pretty well thoroughly assessed. I have a little bit of reading to do to just verify all that, but staff usually does a pretty good job of covering all the criteria, and it's likely to be approved, but I still do need to read those background materials to verify. So looks pretty good, and we'll get that decision out within the next 10 business days. Like I mentioned before, the variance is still subject to approval by the Department of Ecology. I'm sure the applicant knows all about that, but the rest of it is going to be final from the county end. And like I said, that decision will come out soon. So thanks all. And I think at this point, right, Ms. Jones, we are done with the agenda.
We are done, correct.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, again, happy holidays, everybody, and we're done for this morning.
Thank you.